Our text this evening is in Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And this evening I want for us to consider the main idea, which is this, that loving confrontation is the right word from the right person, in the right way, at the right time, to the right person. There is a real issue, you know, in our society of making people believe that anything is within their grasp when it's not. There have been many who have been convinced that they are good in some particular area because the people around them, whether it be family or friends, have either lied to them or just tried to pacify them. And rather than being honest and redirecting them in a pathway where they can excel, there is a pulling back from being honest and telling the truth. And they've been told you can be anything that you want to be. But that really isn't the reality. You know, I was reminded of this when I was just a young man in primary school, and I was in year six, and we had a career survey. You had to fill in a survey and you could say what you wanted to be and all the rest. And it came out that I would have quite liked to have been a fighter pilot. And so I had great high hopes of this, only to be dashed the next day where I came in, and the doctor, you had doctors who came in those days and they used to do checks, and I was told that I was colorblind, red and green. So I could never be a pilot because I couldn't read the instruments. So hopes dashed, couldn't be anything I wanted to be. You see, we live in a society that values personal freedom over truth, a culture that shouts tolerance, unless, of course, it's concerning the gospel of Christ. And this means that you can't ever tell somebody that they're wrong. We live in a culture that affirms, you know, let people live their lives any way they want, and it doesn't matter, it's okay, they've got the freedom to do what they want. You've got no right to tell somebody what they should believe, think, or do is wrong. Live your own life, stay out of the business of others. And the problem is that that attitude is there not just in the world, but that same culture is also infiltrated into the Church of Jesus Christ. So if phrases like don't judge or show grace or let him who is without sin cast the first stone, it means that much is accepted which shouldn't be. And the Bible commands us to live in a loving and accountable family, brothers and sisters together. And we like the loving part, but generally we don't want the accountability part. We don't like accountability, the idea of it in the life and in the church. And it's very rare that any honest, loving challenge is brought about. Even when we may see a brother or sister placing themselves in real danger of moving into some foolish path, foolish sin, we say nothing because also we don't really want anything said to us. We've embraced the world's mentality so much that we set aside the instruction and the principles and the pictures in the New Testament. We come together, but generally there is that desire really to live apart from one another, to be isolated from one another, despite the biblical exhortations that say we need each other and that we need strong relationships in the family of believers. You say, well, where's that in the New Testament? Well, did you know that there are just under 60 one another exhortations in the New Testament? Just under 60. Think about the following. Love one another, John 13. Serve one another, Galatians 5. Forgive one another, Ephesians 4. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. Instruct one another, Romans 15. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. Carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6. Admonish one another, Colossians 3. These and the many other one another's direct believers in the ways that they should be sharing their lives with other believers. They reveal that we shouldn't desire to live the Christian life in isolation from each other. And in our lives, we need to have those relationships where we can be honest with each other, where we can speak the truth in love, and we need those who will do the same for us because they genuinely care for us and genuinely love us. Do you know, if I was going around with something in my teeth, I hope that somebody would say something. or if I was walking along and my laces were undone. It's not loving simply to stay quiet over fear that I might get embarrassed. Going further, if someone is on a fool's path, it's not loving to refuse to admonish because the world says it's harsh. The world is wrong in so many things, and it's wrong at this point too. You know, if we follow the Lord Jesus, the scriptures tell us that there are times when we must speak up. As we considered recently in our time in the Sermon on the Mount, you know that phrase, do not judge, in Matthew 7. You know, it's not condemning all judgment. We looked at that and we saw that that was not what the Lord Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying, throw out discernment. The Bible tells us that as believers, we must judge. We must be able to discern truth from error. The Sermon on the Mount itself is the Lord Jesus discerning and declaring what is false and what is true. You know, we saw this morning, didn't we? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. A lack of biblical judgment, a lack of discernment would mean that you'd never be able to identify those who come in to do damage. There must be judgment, or we'll never know what is false and what is true. Scripture calls us to discern. And Scripture also calls us to make judgments in the church regarding discipline. Matthew 18, confronting a sinning brother and taking appropriate steps if there's no repentance. Peter says judgment must begin in the house of God. 1 Corinthians 5 says that they should remove those from their midst who are openly sinning. The command is to bring judgment within the fellowship of believers when necessary. You see, true love will speak truth. You know, Jesus showed this time and time again in his ministry. He condemned where necessary. He rebuked where necessary. He discerned. And if we are his followers, we must do that when matters of truth are concerned. Why? We speak up because we don't want the people we love to ruin their lives and destroy their lives. You know, with our children, we speak up and correct our children because we want them to learn how to live life in a way that honors the Lord. And the most loving thing we can do is tell them the truth before they hurt themselves or hurt others. We speak up because the person in continual unrepentant sin may not truly be the Lord's, and we want to gain them as a brother. We speak up and tell the truth in love to lost people when we witness to them because we long for them to come to know the Savior, because they're in great danger without Christ. You know, church discipline, as it's spoken of in the New Testament, in the large matters, is really seen in churches today, as is there mandated in the Scriptures. And one of the reasons is because there is no continual low-level discipline, as in those godly conversations to take place. The looking out for one another, the gentle words of concern, the coming alongside. You know, some of the big issues would be avoided if it had been nipped earlier, if we were coming alongside one another in this way. The problem is that so often Christians, they set aside the Word of God. They don't want commitment, don't want accountability, don't want life in a family. It's just about the individual, what they want. And that's it. You know, think of what Jesus said in Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if we're honest, there are very few relationships which are strong enough and open enough where we can honestly speak to each other about our struggles. And therefore, when discipline is necessary, when something big breaks, it's got to be at the high-level response. And by then, there is usually hardness in those who are being dealt with and no willingness to listen. You see, for the body to be holy, there needs to be a culture of loving accountability, to give and receive encouragement, to admonish where and when necessary. This, as Proverbs says, is the way of the wise. This is the way of those who have that relationship with wisdom, and of course that relationship with wisdom is bound up in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Proverbs says this time and time and time again, which is why we're looking at it tonight. It is there throughout. This is wisdom. And our text says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There is a place in genuinely loving relationships for admonition. Otherwise, it isn't true love. You see, true friends, true brethren, will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. False friends will kiss you in a way that makes you think they care, but really they do not. So let me ask you, are you a friend like that? Are you a true friend like that? You know, we need to learn that occasionally, and for the good of those whom we love, we might need to come alongside. We might need to speak a word of admonition in a gentle and loving way. And we also need to learn to receive that for our own benefit too. By the way, I'd just like to say I've faced a lot of comment about what I'm doing wrong at various points in my ministry, so I'm well acquainted with admonition. But, you know, sadly, it hasn't always come from those with the right motivation. And as we'll see, I'm not talking about vindictive criticism. I'm not talking about heartless confrontation. There are probably times we can think of when we intuitively knew that we should have said something but didn't. So, for example, when a friend is pursuing a foolish relationship that's no good for them, when a brother is making terrible decisions that is damaging his marriage. But often we bite our tongues and we convince ourselves we shouldn't say anything. But people make foolish decisions that destroy their reputations, their marriages, their families, and at worst, their eternities. So whilst this is not an easy thing to consider, there are times when as we seek to honour the Lord, it must be done. But the question is this, how do we do it? How do we do it well? How do we do it in a way that honours the Lord and that avoids those pitfalls of it becoming just malicious and vindictive and unhelpful? How do we do it in the right way? Well, Proverbs tells us. And as one puts it, loving admonition is the right word from the right person, in the right way, at the right time, to the right person. That's what we're going to look at tonight. So the right word. The first consideration concerns this. Is what you are about to say to your brother or sister true? Is it consistent with the word of God? In other words, is it just your opinion? Is it just your preference? Or is it grounded in the word of God? You see, Proverbs makes it clear that true wisdom comes from the mouth of God. So Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Therefore, what is not being encouraged here in our text is to go and give your opinion to someone or to go and give your preference and all the rest. A right word of admonition is grounded in the scripture. You know, it's a very damaging thing, you know. If someone does seek to admonish and is speaking from just what they think rather than clear biblical truth. And you know, in the day and age in which we live, social media has given so many platforms where you can go and see this kind of confrontation, even amongst believers, on all manner of things. How to give birth, how to raise and discipline your children, how to dress. And so much of it is so dogmatic. Even when it's blatantly wrong and unscriptural, it's just opinion and preference. You see, there's a great danger when you approach it like that. You see, if the occasion arises where you need to lovingly admonish a brother or sister, you have to be sure that what you are saying is grounded and consistent with the Word of God. So before considering saying anything at all, that must be your first consideration. The right word. Is it grounded in the Scriptures? And then from the right person. How do you know if you are the right person to speak into a situation? Well, you need to think about the following and whether you can answer positively. You need to ask yourself, is this my fight? Is this my conflict? If so, am I the offended party? Or am I accountable for the offender or the one offended? You know, I love Proverbs because it gives great wisdom. Listen to this, Proverbs 26:17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes the dog by the ears. In other words, it's a stupid thing to do. To go and pull the ears of a dog. Not a good idea. So it is a foolish thing to get involved in something in which actually you've got no part. And the problem is this. You know, there are lots of what one commentator calls the confrontation police. Some people love this kind of thing. They love calling people out. They love putting them in their place. They love getting into their business. They love telling their friends how they told someone off. They love jumping in and trolling on Facebook or Twitter. And Proverbs says that's wrong. It's foolish. Proverbs says jumping into someone else's argument is like slapping a pit bull in the face. It's not going to end well. So don't take it upon yourself to interfere in someone else's quarrel. That is not what Proverbs is saying. And it is so damaging when you get people like that in the church. They think they've got an opinion on everything. They do all manner of damage. Don't speak up if it's not your place to do so. If you are just someone who loves the sound of your own voice, who always has an opinion, then you are not the right person to be admonishing. But if you are also on the other side using these things as an excuse not to say anything, if it is your place, if you are genuinely concerned, if your motivation is true, then you are the person to gently and kindly speak. You've got to be the right person. You've got to be motivated with genuine love. And it's got to be grounded in the word. The right word from the right person, and then in the right way. You know, true forgiveness and kindness must be present before there's any conversation like this. It's easy to try and confront a wrong that has been done if you've been hurt. But if it's in retaliation, it will certainly not be in the right way. Unless there is forgiveness, unless there is a heart that is motivated by love and kindness, there will be no admonition that is helpful. There will be no resolution. There will only be a seeking of revenge. If godly admonition is to be given, there can be no residing bitterness, no desire to get one over on the other person, because it will only be destructive for you and for them. Proverbs 24:29, do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. That's not the attitude. You know, too often when two sides come together and there needs to be some conflict resolution, ultimately, each just wants their own position to be heard. They just want to justify themselves. And it drives families apart. It drives friends apart. And it certainly drives churches apart. If there is to be admonition in love, you have to be in a place where you realize your own fallibility, your own sin, and the forgiveness that Christ has lavished on you. You have to let go of that grudge before there can be any consideration of a conversation. And also, if you dwell on what's done, if you keep turning it over in your mind, if you keep talking about it with others, then you are not in a position to face this in the right way. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. There has to be a willingness to let it go, to overcome evil with good, because ultimately judgment belongs to God, not us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's only as you have worked through forgiveness are you in a position to come alongside others. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. So if you are confronting someone from a desire to get someone back, to affirm your own position and all the rest, it won't end well. It will make it worse. There are things that you have to set aside. And if you're serious about forgiveness and reconciliation, only then is there a possibility of some good. And the right way to confront someone is always to do it with gentleness and with love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Our approach and our temperament that we exercise in a difficult situation will make a huge difference. Are we mature enough? Do we have enough self-control to respond in a God-honoring way? And by the way, gentleness doesn't mean that you avoid the issue. Rather, gentleness approaches the issue directly, but in a humble way, and a gracious way, and a godly way. You need to ask yourself, are you genuinely concerned for the other person, or do you just want to prove them wrong? And when done gently and rightly, the person receiving the admonition may well be able to say, I don't want to hear this, but at least I know the person truly loves me and cares for me, and it's painful for them to have to say this to me. That attitude can help in persuading someone of his or her need to change. If there's sarcasm or superiority or accusation, that won't help. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. You know, and true admonition also means speaking to the issue, not spinning it our way and all the rest. It is being honest and clear. Proverbs 24:26, he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Being honest and straightforward is helpful to the hearer. But as one warns, he says, let me give you a word of caution. Often those who are good at directness are very bad at gentleness. And those who are good at gentleness can struggle with directness. We need both in our speaking. So it's got to be done in the right way. But it's also got to be done at the right time. You have to choose the right moment to have this type of conversation. Look at Proverbs 25, verses 11 to 12. Listen to what it says. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. You know, you may have the right word. You might have that response that is biblical and true. You may even say it in the right way. You may be gentle and loving. You might be the right person. But it won't be well received if you get the time wrong. You know, Proverbs doesn't give us a step-by-step guide to know when the time is right. That requires discernment. And where do we get that wisdom? Well, we need to pray about it. For in short, we need to ask God. We need to ask him to help us to know when is the right time to have this type of conversation. You know, a fool doesn't do any of that, has no regard for circumstances. As one gives the example, such a one comes in when his wife looks frazzled and is complaining about how the kids have been a handful all day and says, sweetheart, we need to have a talk. Or the fool wants to criticize the church to the pastor right after the pastor finishes preaching his heart out to his people and is exhausted. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Truth that is not delivered at the right time will not be received. Sometimes you need to wait. Or other times you need to take courage and speak there and then. So you need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to know when the time is right to have this type of conversation. And then as we draw it all together, it also needs to be to the right person. Do you know, there are some people, and we've seen it time and time again in Proverbs, you can't tell them anything. They'll never listen. They're so convinced of their own position that they will never, ever learn or listen. They're totally closed to it. There are some who will never respond rightly, even if you do speak the right words, even if you are the right person, even if you do come in the right way at the right time. Proverbs 9 describes such people as mockers. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. You see, the fool won't listen. Won't listen to admonition and correction, no matter how wisely, how graciously, how biblically you do it. But the wise person will listen. And even though it will be painful, they will want to grow. Now, this does not mean that people, even wise people, will always take the admonition well. Sometimes it will take time for them to appreciate what has been said, that it's helpful for them. Ultimately, it needs the work of the Holy Spirit. It needs the Holy Spirit to challenge and change and mold and shape. Proverbs 28:23, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. It's easy to flatter people, easy to tell them what they want to hear, but that isn't true love. That verse that I've just mentioned in Proverbs 28, it even says that the admonition may not be well received immediately, but afterward. But we often do not speak in this way because we value comfort and an easy life above holiness. And that's true with discipline in children as well. Many parents will not discipline for long-term benefit. Rather, they prefer just to instantly placate and comfort. You know, it may be at times that we have to risk friendships in the immediate only to have it strengthened later. You know, when we speak in a way that is really seeking to honor the Lord, He honors those who honor Him. And we also need to be the kind of people who can receive this admonition and respond well. This is a mark of one who is wise. Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke cuts into a perceptive person more than 100 lashes into a fool. And so you have to think, what can I learn from this? So where do we go from there? What do we think of these things? Well, Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6. Better an open reprimand than concealed love. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Do you know, in that text, you see the gospel? Because Jesus, of course, was kissed by an enemy who pretended to be a friend. But beyond that, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect friend, who always exhibits perfect wisdom, knowing how to admonish and confront with pure motive. Jesus is the precious Son of God. He is the embodiment of wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He lived out these truths perfectly. And you see the way that He would come alongside the disciples and rebuke them when necessary for their good, to strengthen their hand. He loved them. And He lived out these truths. And friends, He can empower us to live them for His glory too. And whether you're able to speak in a manner that seeks the good of another, even when needing to come alongside and admonish, whether you're able to receive instruction and rebuke when necessary, evidence is whether the gospel is central in your life. And you know why? Because if you're more concerned about self and pride, then self reigns more than Christ reigns. See, the cross is not just the means by which you become a Christian. No, the cross of Jesus totally transforms your life, totally changes everything if you really rest in the work of Jesus. And one of the key characteristics of the believer will be humility. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, when this attitude is in you, you won't be looking for confrontation. You won't be looking to go out of your way to admonish and cause issues for others. You won't be looking to get one over your brother or sister. You won't be looking to assert your superiority or to damage the other person or anything like that. You will feel rather the great weight of responsibility. You'll realize your own sin and inadequacy, and you will humbly and gently, because you love your brother or sister, go to them. And similarly, if we are confronted with something, even when it's done wrongly, you know, our sinful reaction, of course, is always to get defensive and angry, and our pride rises up, and we want to be right all the time, and we don't want to pursue relationships that may challenge us. But Proverbs tells us that right admonition and instruction is helpful to us. And if we believe the gospel, we can see how that is true. And you know, if I believe in Christ, if I believe in His cross, I am crucified with Christ. And I died back there at Calvary. If I believe in the cross, it means that I affirm God's judgment of me and that I am able to say, yes, I am a sinner. As one explains, I can say to any rebuke, If it is fair or unfair, then it is just a fraction of my sin. And if I believe in the cross, I also agree with God's justification of my life, that God sees me now as he sees his son. So I have God's approval. And since pride starts fight out of a desire to justify ourselves, remembering God's verdict upon us in Christ alleviates all that. We don't have to justify ourselves because God has done that in Christ. And so you can handle and you can receive the criticism because no one can criticize you more than what took place at the cross when Jesus had to pour himself out and shed his blood to deal with your sin. God has criticized your shortcomings in the cross far more than anybody else can. And he's dealt with it and removed it. It's remarkable, you know, when you have that type of attitude, because even when these things come and come wrongly, you can even thank the person for their correction. Could give you examples of that, where God has given great grace, because it reminds you that ultimately you are a sinner, but Jesus has saved you, and your identity is in him. And you can ask whether there's anything valid in what has been said, but you need not be crushed, because you don't need man's approval. You have God's approval in Christ. And that's key, you know, in receiving and giving admonition. Wisdom is all bound up in the gospel because it's bound up in Christ. And so my prayer for us is this, that we would be a people who are in Christ, if that is our state, who would genuinely love each other, genuinely care for each other, genuinely be able to come alongside one another. And then because of that, if there is an issue that arises, we can speak gently and humbly and winsomely and truthfully one to the other, so that those big issues can be dealt with early and we can come together again as sinners before the Saviour and rejoice in our identity in Christ. May God strengthen our relationships together and may he help us in these things to his glory. Amen. Let's sing together as we close, 349. Jesus, Lord, we look to thee. Let us in thy name agree. Show thyself the Prince of Peace. Bid all strife forever cease. 349.